This meeting is being recorded.
I never heard that before on that end. I didn't know it like sent out a little thing. This meeting is being recorded.
Yeah, all the time is like this.
Oh, okay.
That's everybody have to know they are recording.
Right.
They confirm they are okay with that.
Right.
That's a good thing.
Yes. Indeed.
Wow. Whew.
So I know we took a huge break. Let's see how many people are coming back.
Let's see. I'll just come back in a second.
Okay.
There we go. Okay. Right now, I just finished to read the Selfless Self book, and a lot of stuff coming up. Oof.
Good.
I started again, and it's not the same book for me.
Good.
Another perspective, but a lot of struggling. It's. There's a part is really logging, we say in English, when we are attracting about something, logging for.
Longing?
Longing, yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a strong longing and a lot of resistance at the same time.
Mm. Well, just remember the resistance is just for everything that you're not.
Yeah.
Like, you know, everything that you're not is trying to hold on to the concept of an identity that's not true. And so, of course, there's going to be struggle when you try to hold on to something that's not true. Just like if you and I were to sit there and debate about the sky being blue and I say it's purple, it's going to be very hard for me to try to maintain my position that the sky is purple because obviously it's not. So this kind of struggle, oh, okay, this struggle is happening, but it's nothing to do with me.
Yeah,
there's no struggle because the struggle is just everything that I am not is trying to defend, you know, creating this concept of a defense. And you're putting, I think it even talks about in Siddhartha Meshwar Maharaj, you're putting this ego on trial, basically, mm-hmm. and saying, okay, what is the evidence that you exist? And no matter how good this, like, prosecutor is to say, oh, yes, the ego exists and there is an ego and you have to fight it and this and that. The reality is the defense rests. There is no ego. This whole concept of being something separate can be seen through when you remain with your selfless self. And Maharaj is hammering the invisible listener, invisible, anonymous, unidentified identity. So then this ego is sitting in the witness box and saying, oh, no, but you have to be very careful because you only get one life and this, invisible, anonymous, unidentified identity. How do you answer for that, Mr. Ego? Well, there is no answer. Okay, invisible, anonymous, unidentified identity. That is your true nature. This layer upon your presence whatever it says. It can be in the witness box. Oh, no, but you don't understand, you know. You have all these defects that you need to work on, and you need more spirituality and more sadhana and more this and more that. Invisible, anonymous, unidentified identity. Accept your selfless self. No God, no Brahman, no Paramatman, no Master. So what is the ability for this? Nothing. But there has to be some kind of a struggle, because as Nisargadatta Maharaj says, when the tenants have been there a long time, they've been all rooted in and enjoying themselves, and now you suddenly say, you guys got to go. They're going to cry and complain. But the crying and complaining is all illusion. And if you don't pay attention to it, eviction date comes. Like, there's no choice in the matter. They can cry and complain all you want, but if you have an eviction date, you say, by this date, you're out. And by that date is the moment you know yourself in a real sense. Oh, no, I'm sorry. You can cry all you want, but you're finished. We're done with you. And when you do know yourself in a real sense, this you understand that the mind cannot produce anything that is not known, and everything that is known is not true. So any of these thoughts that are flowing that are trying to be identified with, oh, but has nothing to do with me. I'm formless. There is no hook to hang the hat of self. Mm-hmm. Self is selfless self. No hook. No local identification. If at all you want to compare yourself to sky or space. Invisible, anonymous, unidentified identity that you are.
Oh, the rest is concept.
Exactly. Mental imagination, mental formations, which are nothing. Just the same, you sit in a chair and you think about, oh, my wherever you might go, church or school or work, oh, it's on fire. You can mentalize that. And you can even, as much as you're thinking about and kind of imagining that, start to feel a feeling of, ooh, there's something bubbling. Because this mentation can actually create a physical change in the body. And while you're sitting here in your own chair, you are disturbed about this thing that is not true. And so you rewind yourself and you say, wow, well, that's kind of like what I do with everything. Because in meditation, when I sit quietly, I know there's just I. What can bother this? Nothing. So all disturbances are illusory problems based on imagination. iPhone, I'm going to make iPhone rename you Beth. And is that Keith, who is the owner? Yeah. Yes. Okay. Uh-huh. Good.
I guess you could consider that respect. As long as I don't take it too seriously.
Respect to what?
I said, I guess that could be considered respect, as long as I don't take it too seriously that I am Keith, just so.
Indeed.
You got a name anyway?
Well, the black box is Keith. Yeah. That you're currently holding.
Right. It's within me.
Yeah.
But if something was to happen to the box on the screen, it wouldn't affect Keith at all, correct?
Right, right.
Right.
Although, the my imagination could get away with me. I think that there's something wrong.
You had what? You broke up a little bit there.
My imagination could run away with me, and I could think that there's something wrong with that.
Right, right.
I used to spend a lot of time developing higher consciousness. kind of an interesting way to use the body. So I realized that it was just a spiritual ego trying to be very spiritual.
Yeah, there's no higher or lower consciousness. There's right. Just presence and the world that is appearing on this spontaneous presence that you are the knower of this, basically, without form. And everything that can be known is not yourself. And there can be no levels there.
Right.
That's why Maharaj, very nicely, he says, when we were doing Ramakant Maharaj USA, he's like, this is just spiritual chatting. I'm not considering myself some spiritual guru or some higher being, and you're the disciple. He said, the selfless self is the same presence in everyone. Uh-huh. So there's no ability to say, oh, this level or this highlight of spirituality or more mature spirituality. This is all concept and ego. Because I'm identifying as something that can have a higher or a lower, and therefore it's body based. And all concepts that came along with the body are not true because you are not body.
Okay. I guess we get that feeling that there are possibly different levels from due to identifying comparisons as if comparisons are really telling us something.
Well, if at all you want to compare yourself to sky or space. This is why Maharaj all the time used the example, is India sky better than American sky, or America sky better than India sky?
Mm-hmm.
We have like third world sky, first world sky, second world sky. No, sky is sky. And sky has no concept that it's India sky or America sky. This is brought about through the body-based delusion because of the desire to label things so that we can have language. And within the body-based delusion, you need language in order to communicate. Prior to the body-based illusion, you did not need language because there was no need to communicate. And there was no... You're prior to the concept I exist because this I exist appeared to you. Without there being a you, who would know I exist? And I exist is the birth, so to speak, of the body-based illusion. And the concept of duality is from this I exist. And Maharaj beautifully does knock, knock on the door. Who's there? Nobody's there. Somebody has to be there to say nobody's there. And something knows existence. There's not just I exist. Well, the I that exists or now has the knowledge of existence knows I exist. That's why we can't say like, oh, there's just nothing, nothing, nothing. That nothingness is your own selfless self. And that's why Maharaj then describes that as the something that came out of nothing and goes back to nothing. Because the nothing is all there is, that you are. It's only when we try to conceptualize and try to logically figure it out of, okay, nothing. Well, nothing sounds very scary because right now I'm something. No, you're not something. Mm-hmm. Just as when you're sleeping at night, You appear to be something, but you are not that something. And there is no individuality. So when this body falls, there's no minus, there's no plus. Just as in your dream, when you wake up, all those dream people that just vanished. Like, what happened to these dream people? And they're not going to say, oh, well, now I'm not like a dream person anymore, because the person who was dreaming me woke up, so now I'm nothing. No. Because this formlessness continuously animates these forms and destroys these forms. Not destroy, that's a little bit harsh word. I know that it's in Bhagavad Gita, they say, right, destroy and this and that, the destroyer. But these forms are materialized and they deteriorate. And they're animated. All within the presence. All within the dream consciousness. All within the waking consciousness, because it's one and the same consciousness that seemingly is creating and dissolving, creating and dissolving, and moving things about. But nothing's
What's
true.
What's the purpose of all of it?
Well, there's the purpose is not, there's no, how, because nothing's happening. If you have no happening and you have no cause and effect, then how can there be a purpose? What's the purpose when you dream tonight? What is the purpose of the scenario that you will dream tonight?
Maybe there's no purpose, but there is sort of a fact that through the body, self knows itself in limited ways.
Only within the dream-based existence, the waking dream that we're calling.
It's not necessarily a purpose, but
even that is not a purpose.
The purpose is to wake up.
And maybe not even that, because this is all untrue. Just like you say inside your dream, oh, now I know that I'm dreaming. So I can dream this dream inside the dream, knowing I'm dreaming. Is there value to that?
Some would say that the purpose is to play for the limitless, to play with the limits, like the absolute to play with the...
There's no absolute. This is a body-based concept. Hmm. And the whole thing is, if you want to say at all, there's some kind of a purpose. As Maharaj says, on your deathbed, when this body is no longer able to sustain the essence, you'll know I'm not dying. There's no birth, no death. You remain with your selfless self, and that's it.
But your consciousness, but your consciousness will be what? You know, there's no dying, but you won't have awareness.
Well, let's say you're sitting on your deathbed.
Yes.
And you're remaining with your selfless self.
Yes.
Even mantra. Let's say it's a little bit scary, so you remain with mantra, inviting the attention of the invisible listener. And there's not like, oh, I'm dying. There's no thoughts, I'm dying, or, oh, this is so scary, or, oh, what am I going to do, or what's the next life, or anything like this. It's just a very nice finish. Your body is going to fall anyway. You understand this. So why not, when you're sitting there, know yourself in a real sense and release the body without having to hold on and just, okay, I am not body, I was not body. You don't even need to say this, because by this time, there should be no mental anything, just remaining with your selfless self. And that's it.
And then nothing.
Again, this something is nothing.
But you won't be able to identify anymore, because you don't have a body that's the vehicle for identifying the selfless self.
Again, there's not a... This is, again, from the individual's perspective of there's a person dying and then they're no longer being that person. But you are When you remain with yourself, the self, this you are. This cannot be an individual. There's no individuality at all. This is not a... Yeah, there's no birth, no death. There's no dying. There's no body. You are...
Because words...
Yeah, I mean, and that's why you know yourself in a real sense now. On your deathbed, you're right. It's absolutely too late. Because you're going to have a lot of troubling things. As Maharaj says, death, nobody likes death. And it can be a very scary time. If you know yourself in a real sense, you're going to sit there, remain with that, just that very, very subtle sense of presence, that just I. There's no identification. There's just a flow. And if you don't know yourself in a real sense, this is going to be not the time to sit there on your deathbed and say, okay, I need to invite the attention of the invisible listener. Oh, sir, listen, we're going to move you to the other room because we think you only have 24 to 48 hours. Oh, okay, I need to invite the attention of the... Oh, my God.
Is it possible you might not even know the exact moment of your death?
Well, you should not know the concept of dying, because this is a concept. This is not a reality. This is not a... Nobody experiences I am dying.
So it's not going to take place in one particular known moment.
Again, we're talking about death as if it's some kind of an ending. It's not.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's not an ending. It's not a moment that is the end.
It's the same as waking up in your dream. If you could conceptualize the dream people, what's happening to them when I wake up in the dream? Tonight when you dream, you see all the whole world going on and all the people, and you can think to yourself, what happens to these people in this world when I wake up in the morning? Of course, you can't think that because you're in the dream. But what happens to these people and all this stuff when I wake up in the morning? But see, it's not individualized. When this body labeled John drops, it won't affect the other bodies at all. The bodies are still being moved through presence and all of this, and people are still having babies and doing all this sort of thing because it's presence. It's not John's presence or Alan's presence or Beth's presence. It's presence.
But we won't know that when we don't have bodies.
Well, you cannot know yourself right now. That's the whole...
Right. Yes. I realize that.
So if you don't know yourself right now as a body and you really identify yourself as your selfless self, then this, it'll be the same as just taking off this shirt. I think Nisargadatta Maharaj says, and Ramakant Maharaj said this too, is very funny. It's like passing a stool. It's like, we're finished. Okay. That's it. You know yourself in a real sense. There's no fear because there's no fear I am dying. Because you're eternal. You're internal as you are, not as you appear. The appearance is a limited time.
So when last week you said, in reference to death, that Keith and Trish would still be here, but that would be not in name, but in presence.
Yeah, the presence doesn't go anywhere. It's still animating all the forms and going to animate more forms. You're just no longer in the concept of a person. Presence is presence. It's unlimited. It's That's why the dream consciousness you can't take as a literal example, because you say, oh, when I wake up, all of that disappears. No, but That's from the perspective of presence. Presence doesn't wake up because presence is not asleep. Presence is not born. It doesn't die. It's not even really taking form. Forms are appearing on your spontaneous presence. You're the one that knows I exist, and I exist created the concept of duality, which then this world was birthed from. But you're the knower of I exist. Where all experience ends, there you are. Sri Ramaka Maharaj, where all experience ends, there you are. Accept your selfless self. There's no God, no Brahman, no Paramatman, no master. Nothing is there. You're a selfless self. Self without self. Just I. Presence, spirit, power, energy, whatever you want to call it. And now, while you're still having this body form available, enjoy. There's no trouble because you don't exist.
But I still get back to when the body dissolves, then even though we know that we're not separate, we know that we're just sky, we're just space. So won't we know that at all when we pass just as sky, like we do now? There'll be nothing, even though the animating forces go on. You're saying we won't have any consciousness of non-separation when we're dead.
See, there's no... This is, again, from the individual. Prior to beingness, you knew nothing about birth, nothing about death, nothing about world, nothing about experiencing. There was nothing to know.
But we have these bodies where we've come to know it. And we come to know that we're selfless self. We've used these bodies to come to the awareness of our selfless self, our space, our sky. We've used these bodies.
Let's see again. This is the answers are within you. When you remain with your selfless self, these questions won't bother your mind. This is the only thing you can say, because just like in Das Bodh, it says, okay, how was the world created? We had fire, we had water, we had wind, and all this sort of thing to try and explain the non-existent world, because there's a need for explanation. But when you remain with your selfless self, there's no need for anything, because it's only this conceptualization that says, why will I no longer exist? Why will I no longer experience? I don't want to not experience. Okay, I'm immortal and eternal. But if I don't know that, then what's the point? But these are all because of mind. All of these are thoughts. And you just let these thoughts flow by and remain with your selfless self. Those questions aren't here. You have to conceptualize that you are a body in a world in order to ask a question, or in order for one of these questions to bother your... And this is the whole concept of you are disturbing the peace. Because the peace is prior to all of this. It's a... You just remain with your selfless self. These questions about birth and death, ask your own self. The answers will come, because the answers will come because it removes the questions. It's a black hole of only when we use words to try to describe that which can't be described, do we get confused. And there's no confusion here because you're just here. And there, just here. You don't let any of these kind of mind tricks try and trap you back. Because, oh, I know myself in a real sense. Well, who's this I that knows myself in a real sense? Mm-hmm. Because even that is illusion. All that can be known is absolutely untrue. Just remain, just you feel that sense of presence and you remain there until that sense of presence is all there is. Nothing else is. And when you're deep within your selfless self, even when you look at your hands, there won't be enough in you to say, oh, these are my hands, or this is my body. Because it's prior to mind. You're just here. Yeah, you can do your job, do your duties. Anytime a question comes, the answer is within yourself. Sit quietly. And that's why, as Maharaj says, we can have spiritual talks, spiritual discussions, reading books, and all these things for a long, long time. But the answers are all within you. You just sit with your selfless self and there's no questions, no answers, no right, no wrong, no time, no space. Nothing is there, and not even the concept of nothing. The word nothing is a bare description of this. You have no concept of, am I alive? And you remain with your selfless self. This is invisible, anonymous, unidentified identity. No words, no world, as Maharaj describes it.
One of the things that'll tend to get me hung up is I'll experience a blissful state, and then I'll compare that to my what seems to be my ordinary state, and I'll say, "Well, I'm recognizing that I'm experiencing bliss, but even that, and I can end up calling it flow bliss, but even that is taking place. It's an experience within within me, I guess.
Yeah, prior to being this, there was no experience of bliss. And bliss is not an attribute.
So I am even beyond bliss, basically.
Correct.
Even bliss is like a temporary flow.
Yes, because you're not in bliss all the time, right? So it's coming and going.
Right.
And in reality, the bliss, you could say, is sort of, as Maharaj puts it best, selfless self-intoxication.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, it's addictive. It should be. It's supposed to be.
It's
because you've got this whole world out here that seemingly looks like very interesting and so much stuff to do and so much stuff to see, so much stuff to acquire, so many desires to be fulfilled. But the selfless self-intoxication, when you know yourself in the real sense, you remain with your selfless self.
And you realize you need nothing else.
Exactly. Exactly. No matter what is dangling. And I think that's the Buddha. I think they were talking when he was under the tree or whatever, like the beautiful women came out and tried to tempt him, and he was there and with himself in selfless self-intoxication. Then the demons came out and tried to attack and all the hurl insults and stuff to get him to stand up and fight and this. And no, just selfless self-intoxication. Whatever appears is going to disappear. The selfless self-intoxication, this is coming from your own self. It's the fragrance, the musk, the deer. When they say like the deer and it's jumping around trying to find where is this fragrance, it's coming from the deer, from your own selfless self. As Nisargadatta Maharaj says, this I am, this presence is the doorway to reality. On the other side of this door, of course, there's no sides, there's no door. But on the other side of this door is illusion. So you want to remain with the reality. And the doorway to reality is presence. I am.
I am. Right.
We have less than a minute, so it's going to cut us off.
Yeah, we're going to dissolve.